Hi everyone, this is Tim. I just wanted to take a moment to apologize for the poor recording quality on this week's show. I'm still trying to determine the cause, but we didn't want to miss a week. If you do stick with us through the episode, thanks a lot. I don't think you'll be disappointed, at least with what we're saying. If not, I totally understand. We do hope you'll come back. We're going to get this sorted out, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Eric Knight. We ask the question, is it okay to punch a Nazi? Spoiler alert, yes.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks. God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. Joined as always by co-hosts Molly Glover.
That's a me.
Tim Wick.
Nazis.
Yar.
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 And our guest this episode is Eric Knight.
Yavol.
Oh.
All right.
That's too far.
Fourth time on the podcast as a guest. We're going to call him a guest. We're going to talk about something topical. We're going to talk about whether or not it's okay to punch Nazis, and if so, when.
The reason we're talking about it.
Context.
Why are we talking about this, Nick?
Because I'm a Nazi.
No. I don't think I would have a Nazi on the podcast even to debate or discuss things with. And that's a part of my philosophy on the subject.
Even for an atheist.
We're talking because white nationalist, which is another way of saying not Nazi, basically, Richard Spencer, the leader of the alt-right movement.
We have to call him alt-right.
Yeah, that's double speak.
Fuck the term alt-right.
But that's his screen he termed for his movement that he leads. He is the leader of the next generation of national socialism in America.
The leader is Donald Trump. But
he's
a leader, if not the leader.
Richard Spencer was punched at he showed up to the anti-Trump rallies after the inauguration,
the Women's March,
right? And he was being interviewed, and Black Bloc anti-FOS guy punched him.
It also happened again a couple of days later.
It happened the same day.
Oh, was it the same day?
But the pictures and video didn't surface until after. And there are
so happy it was the same
there
day.
Are numerous people setting the punch to music, putting it in looping animated GIFs.
There's a really good one where they use Hamilton.
And the cannons go boom.
The favorite one I saw was The Boys Are Back in Town. But I didn't see one for Hit Me Baby One More Time, which
I've
I thought
seen
is there
yeah,
one? I mean, there probably was.
There's
one,
a Twitter account
there's
that
one,
just retweets
sweet.
Him getting punched in different songs.
There's one that Nick posted on his Facebook wall. That's
yeah,
the one.
More specific.
Well, the one that I keep seeing is with the punch to neo-Nazi friend, and then showing Captain America punching Hitler.
Oh, in the first Captain America movie, montage of him punching Hitler in every city.
Yeah, punching Hitler in Milwaukee, punching Hitler in Chicago.
And then it shows Washington, D.C.
He was there, he was being interviewed, he was sucker punched.
He was.
Absolutely.
Both times.
And so people are saying...
it was more like sucker elbowed.
The first time he got really like a forearm to the face. The second time was a fucking punch. I'm belaying my opinion through my laughing.
The Pepe the Frog wearing fascists that support him are saying that the gentleman who struck Spencer had a wrench in his sleeve.
That's why it hurt him so bad.
A blurry snapshot shows that there might have been a sheep in his sleeve.
Conspiracy theories about punching a neo-Nazi.
And so they've established a crowdfunded bounty to release this guy's identity.
Anyone who will snitch on him, they are going...
It's above $4,000 at this point.
That many neo-Nazis, guys. Just think about that. And they don't want him to go to jail.
No.
They want to be able to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. They don't want him. They don't want to know his identity for justice. They want his identity to fucking lynch him.
Yep.
So a lot of people
who I would say that, you know, ideologically or politically aligned with and agree with, are saying, we can't do this.
It's never okay.
It's never okay to hit someone. It's never okay to speak to violence.
The rights of my fist end at your face, is how I've heard it put.
Ah, that's
violence
like that.
is always wrong, is the argument.
Eric, what's your stance on, is it okay to punch a Nazi? And if so, when?
I think it is okay to punch a Nazi, but I think it's really complicated. I think randomly, like if somebody espouses just random racist views, I don't think, you know, you're stepping beyond the boundaries of the law. You're obviously you're moving into clear territory where they're not doing something that is a direct physical threat to you at this moment. They may have even talked about doing things to people in a broader sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's not, there is the question of legality, and then there's the question of whether you don't give a fuck about the legality because you're trying because of the moral issues involved.
I don't think anyone's arguing that it should be legal to punch a Nazi. It's never legal to punch a person.
It's unquestionably illegal.
Yeah.
We're talking about morals.
Yeah. It is unquestionably civil disobedience to punch a Nazi.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is totally civil disobedience. Is blocking a highway legal?
Well, that's peaceful, though.
Civil disobedience does not argue peaceful.
It does not.
Not necessarily.
I understand what you're saying. That's a good way to put the shades of how I feel about it. Like, for example, just some dude that I have been told is like, okay, let's say I find a guy and he's on the fucking, like, all the subreddits that deal with these Pepe neo-Nazi fascist pieces of shit. And someone's like, oh, that guy's on that subreddit. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I go up to him and I hit him. That's definitely not okay. I don't have any confirmation. I go up to the guy and I say, do you believe this stuff? And he goes, yeah, I believe this stuff. All the Jews should be killed. Blacks are garbage people. The race should be exterminated. I still don't know if it's okay for me to punch him in the face in this moment. But the leader of the fucking movement, who is literally the person that is like starting new people, getting people into it, trying to normalize it, trying to get on TV. And I think it's very important to punch that Nazi.
I'm going to succeeding to normalize it. The fact that the press uses the term alt-right means what they are doing is working.
Yes.
The press should never use that term. They should always call them white supremacists because that's what they are. Alt-right is sanitizing what they are, and it's making it sound acceptable. It is not acceptable to believe what they believe.
Yes.
And there is no situation under which the press should allow themselves to be manipulated into using the term alt-right.
Yes.
Well, that opens the door to a whole separate topic of how much the press dropped the ball in, you know, equal, we got to give equal time to completely insane shitbag opinions.
Like giving equal time to climate change deniers, even though almost every scientist says climate change is happening and humans are causing it. And these 10 scientists who disagree are like given equal time.
Yeah.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not an equal argument.
I have strong feelings about this.
Clearly, I do too.
We all do. I think if you don't have strong feelings about this, that makes me sad.
Yes.
Honestly.
Everyone should have strong feelings about Nazis. I don't think that's fucking thing to debate. So I think there's something to be said about people who are advocating for genocide cannot take a moral high ground over a sucker punch. I don't think a sucker punch...
That's a great quote.
Getting
punched in the face isn't that bad. He didn't get shot in the head.
Hypothetically, a sucker punch could kill someone. If you hit him wrong, if you hit him hard enough, you could kill someone. I wouldn't cry for the death of Richard Spencer.
Right.
I'm not saying that I'm advocating his murder. I don't...
Kind of like people are advocating the murder of the person who hit him.
So, this is... I'm sorry, were you making...
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The one thing I want to point out is that Nazis are literally the only enemy that is completely pure. Any video game, any movie, that's very funny. No, but like video games, movies, novels, anytime you want to make an enemy that everyone can agree, there's no nuance there. Like, right. we don't have a lot of movies or video games where the Vietnamese or the Viet Cong are the enemy, because we know that that war was nuanced and terrible. Right? Yeah. So we don't talk, that's not something that's easily on.
There weren't any good guys in that war.
No, even World War One. Even World War One, there's a lot of nuance there. Sure. There's a lot going on. Sure. But the Nazis are so pure evil that it is easy. No one can ever say, well, I don't really feel comfortable killing Nazis in this video game.
You can go to Disney World and watch the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, and they punch the shit out of Nazis through that whole thing.
They don't actually have swastikas on anything at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, which I appreciate. Punching Nazis with their uniforms and everything intact, but minus the swastika symbolism, I really love that a lot.
But also, like, in Captain America, the fact that he's punching Hitler over and over. We all laugh at that. No one's like, oh my God, Hitler had a wife. Like, no, a girlfriend. Yeah. No one's like, you guys, he was a human being who shouldn't have gotten hit in the face for no reason.
Right.
Like, but yet here we are with a new fucking dude who wishes to, literally has argued for the extermination of races. And now people are like, this is my favorite, the moral absolutists, who are like, can you find where Richard Spencer actually said he believes in black genocide?
It's
like, well, no, you can find where he published an article where someone else said it, and you can find where Richard Spencer said, I think that article makes a lot of good points worth considering, but you're right. I guess he never specifically said that. And it's like, that to me is so disgusting that people are willing to try to be apologists for a fucking Nazi. Just come on.
I think that there are people like Richard Spencer who want people close to me, friends and family, dead.
Yes.
That's his ideal objective.
Actually, he would want you dead if he's really going to be a neo-Nazi, because you've got gypsy blood.
Sure.
if we're going to get into it.
But they want Jews, Muslims, people
trans.
Of color, GLBT.
Specifically QP, trans.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. People. And also, for that matter, non-contributors. Yep. Which to them could be immigrants, it could be the disabled, it could be the handicapped, it could be anything. Anyone that they don't...
Stay-at-home moms.
Right. That they want those people...
Yeah, non-contributors. Wait,
stay-at-home... don't they want a standard patriarchal society where the wife is a stay-at-home?
But I don't know about that. I honestly don't know what their views are on misogyny, but I know that they have a thing about, like, contributing to society.
Yeah.
And if
but,
they don't
But
think
raising children is contributing.
Depends,
you know, who knows?
Though. Are they welfare mothers, Nick?
So... So, but that's not white people, Molly.
Oh, right.
White
people are on welfare.
So, they want these people dead. And the reason they want them dead is because they exist. That's it. They want them dead because they exist.
And accepting the fewest of cases, it has nothing to do with their actions. It's simply who they are.
Right. For
existing. That's the big
problem.
That's
their crime.
That's the biggest
exist.
Problem. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want a Nazi dead because they exist. I want a Nazi dead because they want people dead for existing.
They want a lot of other
right.
people dead.
That is inherently defense.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, my ideology says that you should not exist and I'm going to actively pursue that goal, anything you do against that person is fucking self-defense.
Yeah, I want to just read a few choice tweets from this. It went viral. You probably saw it. Someone at Puckett101 did a long tweet thread about starting off by saying, if you were in the punk hardcore scene in the 80s, you probably saw Nazi skins show up and push people around. You probably laid hands on a Nazi skinhead at least once. You may have even seen a show or a venue get shut down because of it. There were numerous fights along the way, culminating with about 20 Nazi skins attacking a bar in a massive brawl. It was never just one Nazi skin. One becomes six, becomes 20.
Yep.
They show up, push people around, take over the venue, and would turn everything to shit with bullying and Sieg Heiling.
Yep.
Any show. Propagandi played the World Beat Center, and sure enough, Nazi skins showed up and tried to wreck the show. And this kind of shit went on until a woman in a floral print dress and Doc Martens planted her feet and shoved the next Nazi she saw across the pit. And that was when everyone seemed to realize how stupid it was to let six people ruin things for all of us. The only reaction that prevented Nazis from becoming a problem was to not let them in. At all. ever. And if they somehow got in, we had no choice but to defend ourselves. The only response was physically removing them. I knew these things because I dealt with them for years. Old punks are some of the only folks in America to have dealt with Nazis on a regular basis. They are like vampires. If you let them in, they'll suck, and the only way to get rid of them is a right-left cross. Mm. Which is very funny. Vampires.
Yeah, yeah. Cross.
It's a pun.
Yeah.
It's a pun, everybody.
I think there's something that they touch on tweet or in that article that is important.
Yes.
And that's that when Richard Spencer got punched, he was being interviewed.
Yep.
By a news channel.
Right. Like he was a regular fucking person.
Like his opinions are worth considering.
Once again, the news channel should not be talking to these people.
Absolutely.
They should not be given a microphone.
Yep.
Out of curiosity, do we know what news organization was interviewing? Like, was it actually a mainstream one, or was it like some?
Let's find out.
Was it a right leaning propaganda interview news person?
In which case, I feel
Fox
even more like
news
you should, have been.
Should not. And honestly, yeah.
Well, I know.
I think Fox News might not give this guy put him.
No, their Fox News is suddenly becoming like
centrist because they fucking hate Trump.
Yeah,
but then again, they. Dan Rather's return, they greeted with a disgraced newsman fled from his career returning
They're still super right. But but they can't. The problem is that Trump is so much further right than they are.
And okay, so that supports this point, Tim. The more extreme to the right people go, the further to the right center moves. By giving Nazis a fucking outlet, and by giving them a medium to express their views and talk about their opinions and talk about their advocacy for genocide, we're legitimizing that part of the conversation and saying that this is a point worth considering, and we're wasting our fucking CPU cycles on debating whether or not genocide is something that we need to go, well, hold on a second, let's hear what Hitler has to say.
Just real quick, so I was wrong. He was punched twice on Inauguration Day, not the day of the Women's March. Yeah. It was just the Women's March, but the day that all that came out. Punched twice on Inauguration Day. The first time he was being interviewed by Australian Broadcasting Company. The second time, I don't know. They're not. Yeah. I can't find what it was, but.
Well, and one of the things about that, too, is that
Australia.
They've... one of the other things that the right has done masterfully, unfortunately, even aside from this neo-Nazi bullshit, is, like you said, the climate change and the idea of equal time and equal voice has gone to this. They pushed it especially hard through the lens of trying to make it about free speech.
Yes.
It's not that we're not saying you can't say that. We're saying that you're saying stuff that's so heinous that it shouldn't be normalized by mainstream news channels and mainstream media.
Also, free speech doesn't mean what everyone fucking seems to think it means, because free speech doesn't mean that you get to say whatever you want and you get equal time on TV and everyone has to be nice to you about
it. Consequence of speech. So
all it means
is advocate genocide, you might get punched in the face.
And here's the thing. Also, let's just set aside the fact that hate speech doesn't fall under free speech.
No, it does not.
So, and that's what advocating genocide is. But let's just pretend that we don't even have hate speech clauses, right?
Okay.
Let's say we don't have those. All freedom of speech means is that the government can't prosecute and jail someone for saying the shit that Richard Spencer says.
So, the government...
Not if he doesn't get punched.
The government can't say the KKK can't rally and can't march. That's the government can't shut down the KKK. If we show up and counter-protest the KKK and provoke them to violence and then defend ourselves, which is a common tactic, that is not a free speech issue.
It's not. It's not at all.
Not one bit.
And so I'm very frustrated. I think this free speech, like cry you keep hearing from people who, on both sides, honestly, because I've got liberal friends who are saying things like, what about his freedom of speech? It's like, you are not understanding what that covers. It's your freedom of speech is not the right to say whatever the fuck you want and maybe like, okay, you make some good points. But I think what Eric, your thing about the equal time and how dangerous this is, we see the examples of that. We've got this whole concept of alternative facts now coming straight out of the White House. That we are being told by the White House there is such a thing as an alternative fact, and that is why we have to give equal time to this bullshit charlatan garbage.
Yeah, it's double plus ungood fucking 1984 shit.
The book 1984 sold out on Amazon. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yeah.
This week the book 1984 sold out on Amazon. As I saw one very funny headline, as America decides to read a fucking book for once. But, and sadly, John Hurt died. Just yesterday. So, I mean, he was the star of 1984. There's a lot going on with this, and I think it's at the forefront. But doublespeak is something that I think is happening, and it is shocking, the reality of it right now.
But I think we have to get back to the question of whether or not it's okay to punch a Nazi.
Yes.
I have an anecdote.
All right.
Personal anecdote for this. Roommate, one of my oldest friends, Victor, was out for a walk. I think he was going to get coffee or statistically beer.
Yeah.
And we're living in a punk house. You know, there's like 20 people living in an 8-bedroom house or whatever. Victor runs into a guy who has patches and shit on his jacket that are for Nazi punk bands.
It's signaling.
It's signaling. It is
100% signaling.
He's got the right color laces in his boots. And he's got patches for bands, and this is a way to say to other punks, you're a Nazi, but to everyone else, it's camouflage, you're just a punk. They can't tell the difference because they don't know those bands. Mm-hmm. They don't know who Screwdriver is.
Right.
That sort of thing. So, Screwdriver, you know, with hit songs like Get on the Boat. So, this guy says to Victor, who's clearly a punk, he's got a green Trihawk at the time, says, hey man. I'm new around here. Where's the White Power Records at? Like, I went to Extreme Noise. They don't got it. Like,
Extreme Noise doesn't have White Power. Like, weird.
Yeah. Where can a guy get some fucking White Power?
Because Victor's very white. He's Norwegian, Swedish. Like, he looks like he could potentially.
He's an Aryan monster.
He does. He is an Aryan monster. Yes.
Blonde, blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Victor's response was, fuck you. Where can I get some White Power albums? Fuck you. So the guy stabbed him.
Yeah.
Victor came home, and we're broke punks, no health insurance or anything. I sterilized.
That's going to be true again soon.
I sterilized a knife and cleaned the bits of his bathrobe that he was wearing as a jacket out of his wound. And then glued it shut for him.
With super glue.
And
you know,
and
when that was invented? When we were fighting the fucking Nazis.
Yeah. So I think this story is a perfect example of what's happening here.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'd like to tell you some White Power beliefs. No, thank you. And then violence.
Yeah.
And it's really self-defense. When someone is advocating genocide, there's no gray area here for genocide. That's not something to debate or something to go to consider.
I found a great flowchart that I'll make sure we get in the show notes.
Oh, please.
The question is, should I punch this Nazi? So here's the flowchart. Is the Nazi within punching distance? No. Move closer. Is the Nazi within punching distance? Yes, punch the Nazi. So if you're wondering what you should do, that's the first question to ask yourself. Is the Nazi within punching distance? And if he's not, get a little closer.
Yeah.
There's a really great episode of Nip Tuck, which is a good show, especially the early seasons, where there is a girl, super cute, blonde hair, blue eye girl, who is very sweet, and then you find out that she's a white supremacist, and so is her family.
Yeah.
And in a violent way as well. And honestly, I personally don't believe there's a non-violent white supremacy ideology.
How can that exist?
Even if you say, I'm a pacifist who would never physically hurt someone else, but you advocate white supremacy, that's a violent ideology to me. Just like how I believe firmly that you could be a member of Daesh or some Al-Qaeda group and be like, but I'm a pacifist, I would never actually hurt anyone. I just think that we need to wipe out this other group of people. That is a violent ideology. And it's shocking to me that we could, that some people will look at this and just be like, well, but they're not actually hurting anyone. They just think horrible things and say horrible things. And, you know, the words are weapons. They can be weapons. And not just in that, like, you hurt my feelings way, but in a way where they are insidious and they are starting, they get into to people and they radicalize someone who maybe before that wouldn't have gone that direction.
Absolutely.
Well, the thing is that they aren't hurting anyone now.
They are.
But they are. They're just not physically.
Maybe they aren't physically.
Well, it's happening. Trans people are getting murdered in the street.
I know, like, but we're saying, let's say you look at one person. And you're like, but this person's never done anything. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's all my point. Is not that there aren't members of this movement that are hurting people now, because there absolutely are.
Yeah.
But even if this person is not hurting anybody now, they are a loaded gun.
Yes. Absolutely.
They are always a loaded gun.
Yep. And
now,
a loaded gun that somehow makes other guns. I feel like, is there a way to be a loaded gun factory? Like,
it seems that way. So the question whether or not it's okay to punch a Nazi, you have to also consider what benefit is there to punching a Nazi, aside from feeling good about yourself for punching an asshole.
Making them scared.
I think that's
making them know their ideas are not welcome.
And I think that makes sense. And I have grappled with this a lot. Mm-hmm. I am a nonviolent person.
Me too.
I wouldn't punch anybody. I just can't think of a circumstance under which that would likely happen for me. But at the same time, is there a point at which violence is the only appropriate response? And the thing from the 80s, the idea that if you wanted to get Nazis out of the punk scene and basically into their own fucking Nazi bars, the only solution was to beat them out of the room.
Yes. And the thing is, like, I think that the worst part is that, like what Nick said, make them scared. Right? They know right now that as soon as Trump got elected, there was a large surge of people saying, in no uncertain words, we don't have to hide anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can be ourselves now. Yeah. We can say all the things that we always thought.
An actual quote from a Nazi about that.
Oh, good.
We have a wonderful opportunity here, folks, that may never come again at the right time. That emphasis is. Donald Trump's campaign statements, if nothing else, have shown that our views are not so unpopular as the political correctness crowd has told everyone they are.
You know, so you two, both Eric and Tim, like, that's great, but you guys both were, like, adults in the 80s, you know, I mean, to some degree. Young men. So, did you experience anything 80s or the 90s that where you saw this sort of weird hatred kind of stuff going on at festivals?
It was a problem in Minneapolis.
But I wasn't in the punk scene.
Outside of that scene, were you aware of it at all?
Not really.
I think
I was pretty sheltered in that way, you know.
Not sheltered, but they hide. That's the thing.
Oh, sure.
That's my point. My point is it's the signaling. They wear the patches and this kind of thing. And you know, like, it's prison tattoos in that way. Where, like, it's a signaling thing to let other people who are cool know what's up. And we have that in all cultures. We do that in geek culture.
It kind of feels like they're never going to go away. But if you start punching them, you're going to force them back into hiding.
Exactly.
And that feels better.
It does. Because, and so you think about World War II and how long we waited as a country to get involved. How long we waited. We gave them equal time. We took a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah.
We said, let's, you know what, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe it's not as bad as it sounds. Maybe let's not take them at their word. They're not going to exterminate the Jews. How could they do that? That's not possible. And then it took until they literally bombed Pearl Harbor before we realized, oh, shit, we need to get involved.
Yeah.
We have to get involved.
And that was Japan. That wasn't even Germany.
Right. So now are we going to wait? Are we going to wait? What are we waiting for?
Yeah,
we know what they
ultimately
do.
Ultimately, Nazis had their shot. They were given a fair chance.
They got their equal time.
They were given their. They've already had it, which means. And I mean, I'm going to say right out of the gate, news organizations need to stop using the term alt-right. They need to be called white supremacists or fucking call them Nazis.
White nationalists or Nazis,
neo-Nazis.
I think is would be preferred.
Well, I prefer white supremacists because it sounds worse.
Sure.
And it's still pretty accurate, too.
The one, like, devil's advocate point that I don't agree with that I want to bring up before we go to five questions.
That's good. We shouldn't just jerk each other off the whole time.
So it's okay to punch a Nazi. What about for the past 8 years when people were talking about how the left is for bigger government, therefore overreach, therefore a more authoritarian view and more control in your lives, which is technically not left-right politically, but top-down politically, closer towards fascism, and calling Obama a Nazi, and saying that anyone that's supporting Obama is a Nazi, what's to stop someone from just saying, this guy's a Nazi, therefore I get to punch him, or shoot him, or whatever?
I think...
Who gets to decide who's the Nazi?
I think, the number one way to decide if someone's a Nazi is if they are advocating genocide. And since there is no way anyone can point to me a point in the Obama administration or anything in the last 8 years where someone has said, these people don't get to live.
Yeah.
And as much as the Christian right and other groups that feel persecuted want to say that their lifestyle, their choices, their lives were being persecuted and harmed by policies, no one was ever saying, you can't be a Christian, you can't live, you can't do your own thing. All of that was about how you can't do that to other people.
Right.
And I think that's the difference. The difference between don't make your ideas on someone else versus your ideas are garbage and you don't get to be alive.
There is also a difference between racism and being a Nazi. Like, I hate to split hairs in this way, but someone who just thinks that, well, I don't like black people, is not the same.
All Mexicans are lazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Is not the, we can't be too easy to paint the Nazi brush on anyone who's racist if all they think is that, well, I'm better than some of these other people, but I wouldn't ever advocate.
I just don't
want them to be dead.
I just don't want to be around them.
And
right.
Let's go aside from racism. Let's look at Nazism from a political perspective and whether or not the Obama administration, whether or not liberals fit that mold. And here's the difference. There is significant rhetoric on the conservative side of the political agenda that they want liberalism gone. They want wiped out.
Yep.
They don't want it to exist at all. You will not find that rhetoric on the left.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
technically, you could find a couple of outliers.
There will be pockets of it. But
it's not mainstream part of left culture.
You will not find the mainstream left advocating for the wholesale elimination of the opposing point of view.
Absolutely.
But you will find the mainstream right advocating for that.
What you'll see over and over and over in the KKK and Nazis, neo-Nazis, white nationalists, all of them are saying Trump is a great opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has already started to label people's existence as illegal.
Yeah.
Trump has already advocated for publishing updates weekly or however often of crimes committed by immigrants. This is literally something that Hitler did and his fascist movement did.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to note there's a difference between racism and fascism. But when you combine racism with fascism, that's when you have Nazis.
And we as liberals in this environment, we have to be very careful because one of the things that liberals did or anti-Nazis did in Germany was basically go, you know, this isn't true. It isn't true that his inauguration was the most well-attended inauguration in the history of the United States. It's just demonstrably not true. Okay, that is an accurate statement, but it's not. It is ignoring the really important shit that's going down, and you have to stand up and fight. And
disagree.
Even if you can't fight with your fists, you have to fight with your voice. And the fight can't just be, look at these two pictures and see how there were more people at the Obama inauguration.
Yeah.
The fight has to be, this that they are doing is wrong. And if you support it, you have to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You should be embarrassed
and
to
afraid
support it.
To have these views.
Yes.
You should be horrified that other people advocate this and think it's okay. It can't be okay to think this way.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100% agreed.
So, just real quick, we're all in agreement. It's okay to punch Nazis.
I think it's okay to punch a Nazi.
I guess we've determined that.
Yep.
Right. It's okay. If you disagree with us,
tell us why.
Please do.
I personally am not super interested to know why, but I would like to read it.
Are we doing 5 questions?
Yeah, we have five questions from Eric.
Yeah, because four times. So, So first one, what is your favorite musical? And this is super hard for me to just be like, only one. So I threw out the possibility that this is tough. So I'm going to allow up to 3 answers categorized as favorite musical as a play or favorite musical as a movie or just favorite just for the music. Like,
Given favorite. Time constraints, I'm going to stick to one.
Okay.
My favorite musical, and I'm not going to say it's a movie because the movie is shit.
I know what you're gonna say then.
Is Les Miserables.
Yeah.
It has been. I have, I think, 5 or 6 different versions of the musical. Almost every time it comes into town, I will go watch it. It makes me cry like a baby. Yeah. There's nothing about it I don't love except possibly the Castle on a Cloud song. That song is.
What's your favorite song?
Tiresome. Quick. It's One Day More. It's the
One Day More.
It has the
I sing that a lot at Fest.
The finale, that finale, that end of that act, it just makes you want to just stand up and go, motherfucker, take down the government. So it's very apt. But there you go. That's my answer.
I think my favorite two musicals aren't movies or even plays. I think Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the show, it's really great. The first season of Gallivant was exceptionally funny.
It's true.
I'm really partial to Aladdin.
Oh, cool.
Like, you ain't never had a friend like me and shit like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, Hamilton, like, I haven't even seen it. I've only been listening to it, and I gotta say Hamilton. Sure.
So, I'm in terms of a Broadway musical, I'm torn right now between Rent and Hamilton. I've seen Rent, and so I feel like it's hard for me to judge, but Rent's a bit dated these days, like, and it's just hilarious since Hamilton takes place in the 1700s. But, like, I love them both so much, and for similar reasons. I love when a musical takes things and interweaves them, when you hear songs or stings or words or phrases that get woven into songs later, and both of those musicals are really good at that.
Yeah. Cool.
And then I would say for just a movie real quick, I really love The Little Mermaid. I loved it since I was a kid. I think songs in that are great. Cool. Yeah.
I think as a play, I've only seen one community theater version of it, but Sondheim's Assassins is just fascinating and weird. It's one of his less known for good reasons, because it's crazy. It's all about people who've tried to kill presidents.
Cool.
Favorite movie musical would probably be Chicago, because I think it is one of the most amazing adaptations ever done. It transcends the play.
I gotta change Little Mermaid to Chicago. I love that movie. Yeah.
And I still really love the music from Jesus Christ Superstar. Which I think is the best thing
who
Andrew Lloyd Webber's ever done.
Do you think you are?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. So question two.
Though, since nobody mentioned it, I just got to mention Singing in the Rain for a movie musical.
Right, another movie musical I love is The Bandwagon, but I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, so what would you point to in your youth that started you on the geek path? Media, people, what influences or things kind of, you know, what item might be the...
Horror books. Stephen King specifically, but then I got really into horror, and that's what got me into things like The X-Files, The Twilight Zone. I really was into, like, horror movies, which turned out to be more geeky than I thought it would be. And then that love of kind of, like, outsider culture is what got me on BBSs. Sure. And BBSs was probably my biggest injection of being, like, I am now a part of the geek culture.
Yeah.
I would never consider my dad to be a geek necessarily, but I mean, my dad gave me a copy of The Hobbit really young. My dad had a Commodore 64 in a basement with an acoustic coupler, so I was, you know, less than 14.4 spawned on BBSs at a very young age. I have a very specific memory of, like, when I was like, oh, I'm a nerd and this is my thing now. I was in elementary school. I brought my copy of Lord of the Rings in. And it was, there was like free time, yeah. like an open time to, you know, yeah. play games or fuck off and do whatever. And I opted to go finish the book I was reading yeah. because it was yeah. super good. That's and I was at a part of Lord of the Rings that, you know, the part of the book that isn't just them walking. I was at that part of the book and I really wanted to just like sit down and read it. And I remember being made fun of for choosing to read.
Yeah.
And then also Same. For what I was reading. Same. And that's when I was like, oh, I get it. I'm going to have to choose the things I love doing over Popularity. Being with those people yeah. who yeah. hate this shit. Well, yeah. decision made.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, hands down.
Right.
My answer is super cliche, but it is true. It's Star Wars. Nice. It came out when I was 10. It was, you know, it's one of those movies that everybody saw. I actually thought the trailer was scary as shit, so I didn't go see it for like 6 months.
That's
oh, wow. You know, but it was super, like, everybody's like, you got to go see this movie. And yeah. I finally went and was totally blown away and sold. And yeah. I had like the Death Star playset, and I had an awesome. X-Wing and a TIE Fighter. TIE Fighter, like, you could shoot it and you could make the little wings yeah. pop off. And
I had one.
So, yeah. yeah. Star Wars.
Yeah. yeah.
My oldest brother, I think I had a bit of a, you know, like fixation, hero worship, want to yeah. be like the older sibling kind of thing. Yeah. And he was into Star Trek.
Oh, sure.
And started getting into some other sci-fi stuff. And so yeah. I just started like literally reading some sci-fi because he was reading some sci-fi and watching Star Trek and things like that. And so
awesome.
I think that was the main trigger for me. Question three, if you had to adopt a religion, not just pretending, but actually had to, like if somebody put a gun to your head and you had to live the lifestyle and belief structure to the best of your ability, what religion would you choose?
I would have them pull the trigger.
I knew somebody would say that.
It's just like, fuck you. I don't...
Yeah.
You must believe in a religion. You must follow all the doctrines of this
religion.
Let's
say that it wasn't just a gun. Like, it was going to be you're now going to be somehow mentally changed so that you are, like...
So what religion is the least offensive to
you? So, counter question. Is saying Satanic Temple or the Unitarian Universalist cheating? Because you could be an atheist for either of them.
I guess not. Well, okay, so by way of... I was thinking a little more...
I'll answer the question.
Yes, there you go.
I would be a Wiccan again. Because I feel like that's the thing that I ever... That was the one that was the hardest for me to be like, you know what? This is also bullshit. I could easily go back to being full-on high and low holidays, like yeah. Beltane and all of that, doing rituals and believing fully in the nature and the goddess and all that stuff. I could go back to that. That's the one thing I think I could manage because I have, if I've ever felt spiritual, it's been those weird pagan moments at Renaissance Festival where mm-hmm. it's been like, you know, maybe, I don't know, like, yeah.
If I was going to pick like a real religion with beliefs, I'd Zen Buddhist, probably.
I was going to say Buddhism too, just because yeah. it's like, well, it's mostly just about trying to be centered and treat people well, not, yeah. you know, a big deity overarching yeah. kind of dogma.
And Tim would be dead.
And Tim would be dead.
No, I guess I don't know which. I'd probably try and find a super liberal Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, you were Christian for a lot longer than the rest yeah, of us too. Just, so.
I mean, you know,
not me. Well.
Because
I mean, not Catholicism. I think Catholicism yeah. is dumb. But you know, the ones that like have grape juice for the yeah. blood of Christ. That was pretty neat.
Super super hippie Minnesota Lutheran.
Yeah.
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 I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Number four, what is your favorite card game that uses standard cards? It has to be like the usual four suit card deck, not like some other specialty thing. But
Euchre.
It can be. Me too. Euchre. I fucking love Euchre.
I haven't played it in a million years. I need to play it again.
Oh, we totally yeah, should do
we
it.
Should.
There are people at work we
awesome.
Should Man, we can I don't, hook up with. Yeah.
I don't.
He's never played this
like
game.
I don't know
He's
how to silly. Play Bridge. I don't know how to play
Hearts.
Euchre. I don't know how to play Hearts. Spades. I don't know how to play any trick taking card
know how
games.
To play cribbage.
Gin Rummy.
I don't know how to play cribbage.
I
know how to play a few varieties of poker, Go Fish, and
Asshole?
War.
Asshole? Huh. Did you ever play that one?
It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't remember how to play, but I have.
Okay.
Huh.
I don't.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, my answer is cribbage. It's okay. a family yeah. game. That's, my family that's plays that's, it all the time.
I love cribbage, but Euchre yeah. I like more because it's more people, and that's why yeah. I liked it more, sure. which is odd.
I have some fond memories of playing Hanafuda, which uses the traditional Japanese card
oh.
deck
huh.
and not a Western 52 yeah. card deck, and that's a fun game to play.
Okay.
So.
Number five, and I can't, thought of this as being kind of topical. What celebrity death since the beginning of 2016 hit you the hardest, and why?
Carrie Fisher.
Why?
I don't know, man.
She's only fucking 60.
She's only 60. She's a mental illness advocate. She was a charming and outrageous woman. I feel like seeing her in the Star Wars movies was like a sexual awakening for me as a teenager.
Me too. Like,
I've never been a Star Trek or Star Wars person. I really love both for very different reasons. And I, with the movies coming back, all my Star Wars emotions are hot and fresh. And it was like an exposed nerve getting poked when she died.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
I feel I'm gonna kind of. I got a couple. They're for different reasons. So the one that I think hit me the hardest was Anton Yelchin because he was so young and because he had so much talent and I thought he was so amazing and that being just a stupid fucking accident was so awful and mindless.
Greenwood was so fucking good.
Carrie Fisher hit me for all the reasons Nick just said, so I won't get into that. But then David Bowie because he specifically knew I might even get choked up. Again, because like just the fact that he knew for more than a year and didn't tell anybody besides a very, very inner circle and then planned his last album, called it Lazarus, like did all this stuff and for us. For fucking us, we don't deserve that. Like, and he did all of it for us, and then just was gone. And it was so perfect. It was so Bowie. It was just this, he's just an alien thing that just he managed to still maintain this magical alien weirdness even in dying of something as fucking typical as cancer. And it was just so great.
I think the one that hit me the hardest, and I mean Carrie Fisher is a good answer, but I think it was probably John Glenn. And it's he was old, he was in his 90s, but there was something about Glenn and the personality of him and who he represented in my life. I mean, I've always been really interested in space exploration, and just the fact that this was a guy who did shit his entire life. He did shit. He was a senator, and he went in his 70s, he went into space so they could study how somebody that age responded to being in space. And I just feel like there aren't enough people like him.
They don't make him like
there
that.
Aren't, and there was some, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it's just my impression, but there was something selfless about John Glenn that I don't see in people like, for example, our current president.
You'd think that, but he didn't pick up his socks. I don't know.
Yeah. So that one hit me hard.
I just wrote a post about this a couple days ago because Mary Tyler Moore just died. Honestly, I mean, despite being such a geek in other ways, this one was the one I got as soon as I read it at work. I got choked up because, I mean, it was very much Mary Tyler Moore show first run was family time, Saturday night. You know, one of the shows that we watched every week, and it was, you know, part of that. And then when I got older and I was kept watching it, seeing syndication and all that, and turning into more of a comedy nerd, that show is so good. I feel it's the best sitcom ever made. I'm not going to open the door in that whole conversation, but I love that show so much. She did some other really cool stuff, including her, you know, Dick Van Dyke show on Ordinary People. So
She's great in Ordinary
People. She's so good in that.
A great fucking movie. Yes, she's perfect. I love that book, and she was perfect as the mom.
She was amazing. Perfect. Amazing in that movie. Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you for your questions, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
For being our guest again. If you want to answer Eric's 5 questions, leave them in a comment, either on Facebook post or geekswithoutgod.com. Send your answers to our usual 5 questions. Please, we're running low to 5 questions at geekswithoutgod.com. We literally have 2 responses in the pipe right now, in the queue. So we need we need some more coming up. I just want to mention, right now we are either at or $1 away from our first Patreon goal, which will mean we'll do 2 patron-exclusive special report episodes per year.
Why, Eric, you're a Patreon subscriber, aren't you?
I sure am.
What a good guy.
And so if these are going to be episodes that we do just for our supporters. We're going to do 2 a year. It's an inevitability at this point. I think for our first one, we're talking about doing a ghost tour in Minneapolis. And so those will just be available for our supporters. You should get in on that because it's going to happen at this point. Also, you should get in on that because you like us and you want us to keep doing what we're doing.
We're normal.
And you want us to have better audio equipment so we don't have fuck-up episodes like a few weeks ago.
We still don't know what the hell happened, honestly. No, everything sounded fine on our end.
My computer, not the audio. No, I should even mention that.
Anyway. Yeah.
Who knows? We're on a single USB.
You know what it was?
Ghosts.
Nazi ghosts. Oh. Punch that Nazi ghost.
Her fist goes right through him.
So, we've been Geeks Without God. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, give us a rating on iTunes. It's been a while since we've got one of those. That'd be great. Go punch a Nazi for us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you a Nazi?
I wouldn't say Nazi. I just don't think the blacks should be like...
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.